You're not going to miss this episode of the AI Show. We're going to look at the error analysis toolkit so we can look inside of AI. It's not just about fairness. It's not just about interpretability, but it's about finding errors. You're not going to want to miss it. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI Show. We're going to talk about, and let me put the title up here so you can see it. Building responsible AI using the error analysis toolkit. I've got Murnoosh and Bismira. How are you doing, my friends?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So let's start with just a simple introduction. We'll start with you, Bismira. Tell us who you are and what you do, and then we'll talk to you, Murnoosh.
Hello, everyone. Yep, I'm Bismira. I'm a researcher at Microsoft Research. I work, broadly speaking, in responsible AI and human-centered AI. Thanks for having us, Beth.
Fantastic. And you, Murnoosh.
My name is Murnoosh Samicki, and I'm a senior program manager on the Azure Machine Learning Responsible AI Tooling team. Very excited to be here today.
Awesome. So we'll start with you, Bismira. Let's talk about, if you will, maybe just a tiny review of what an AI model is. How do we know if a model is doing well? Sometimes it feels a little black boxy. What say you?
Yeah. In fact, like in machine learning, we deal with three different things. We deal with the data that we want to learn from, and then we have an architecture or an algorithm that we train to learn from the data. And after we train, we come up with this model, and you could think about it just as a function, like something that takes as an input some data and gives you a prediction about that data or a transformation on it. Now, when we evaluate these models, of course, we evaluate them on the training data and we say how accurate it is. But in the best case, we should have some sort of test data that ideally comes from the real world. And we measure accuracy or error rate in that test data. And we give these numbers. You might have seen all these articles saying that, oh, this model is 90% accurate in this particular benchmark. Or this model reached human parity, which is sort of like a bold statement, if you ask me, in a particular task. And we think that this type of evaluation, when we just give you like one number about how the model does, is sometimes perhaps not sufficient in order to think about the nature of errors, how different they are from each other, and the source of that.
So it's interesting because I love the way you phrased it. You're saying that AI is like a function, except we don't know what's inside of it. And the only way we know if it's good is we hold out some data and we say in aggregate on the data we hold out, it's N% accurate or it has N loss or whatever. How do we get more fine grained? Because I feel like if you're going to put a function out there that you don't know what it does, you should probably know a little bit more about what's happening. How do we get more fine grained?
Yeah, so the secret, which is not as much of a secret since we were talking about secrets before, is to actually look down in the data and say, how can I slice and dice this data in meaningful ways so that I can actually evaluate model performance and accuracy in all these different pockets? And very often there may exist pockets in the data for which our model doesn't do as well as the aggregate accuracy. And the question is, how do we find them? You may do it two ways. You may say, okay, I have certain dimensions that I care about or features, and I can evaluate the model on them. Like if I'm building a traffic sign detector, I can say, maybe I want to see how this performs during different times of the day or in different weather conditions. And these are all dimensions that one may care about. But then sometimes there are just too many dimensions. And it is hard for a developer to think about all the possible combinations where error may be more represented. And so we think that it is good for developers to have the help of automated tools that can guide them through these pockets without them thinking about all these possible combinations. And that's exactly actually what Murnoosh is going to show later.
That's interesting. I see. So basically, what's the difference between this and maybe interpretability and fairness that we've talked about before?
Right. So we think about all these aspects of machine learning as actually like a large family of tools and properties that a machine learning model needs to have beyond accuracy. So basically, as a community, we need to sort of go beyond evaluation in terms of just mere accuracy or automation accuracy, but also think about all these other aspects. And if you look at this from the perspective of reliability, when all these models or make mistakes, these errors can impact the user experience or even, you know, society in different ways. It may become a safety issue. For example, if that traffic sign detector is hallucinating a green light when there is no green light, then it can become a safety issue. If it affects or if error is higher for certain demographic groups, then it becomes a fairness issue. And then sometimes it may not be about safety, it may not be about fairness. It may just be that you are going to a grocery store, you're using an app, a computer vision app that tells you more about the product. It tells you if it is fair trade, it tells you if there is a sale, and it works well for apples, but it doesn't work well for oranges. And then you lose trust on it. Like you are not going to use a product that only works on only one type of fruit, right? So you lose trust on the app. And maybe you lose trust on machine learning altogether because you may think this is just something that is cool on paper, but not in product.
I see. So this is more like you're saying that fairness and interpretability, it can be subsets of just general errors overall, because it might not be a fairness issue. It might just be that you're not measuring things right. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that, yes, exactly, that they are a part of the overall debugging experience as well. Like interpretability is a great, means for doing further diagnosis on the model. And basically, you can go back to the data or back to the model. You should be able to do both.
Awesome. So let's go to you, Marnoush. I feel like we've talked about this enough. Can you explain like what the toolkit actually looks like and how people can use it?
Absolutely. So I'm just going to walk you through a little story which has been trained on top of census data, which is a binary classification example that predicts whether people would earn more than 50K or less than or equal 50K. And I'm going to show you different parts of this tool, identification of errors and diagnosis of errors. So very easy. You can just pip install the responsible AI widget. So pip install RAI widgets and the tool is yours. Here, I'm just starting with the census data, doing stuff that any data scientist would do, like trying to clean my data and apply some feature transformations, say on numerical features, I'm doing simple imputing and standard scaling. On categorical features, I'm doing simple imputing and also one-hot encoding. And so after that, I split the data into train and test. And I train a machine learning model. In this particular case, I'm just training a light GBM classifier with 50 estimators. And after I fit my model, I can call any of the interpretability techniques that we support in the Interpret ML open source offering, specifically in the Interpret-Community repository underneath that here on top of the model. For instance, there's SHAP that you can use. There is global surrogate models. In this case, I'm just using a mimic explainer. And so this mimic explainer is supposed to bring an intrinsically interpretable model to explain your original black box model, if you will, which in this case is this light GBM explainers. After I get this explainer object, I can call explain global to just like understand what are the top K factors that are overall important for making the predictions of whether someone would earn more than 50K or less than or equal 50K. And I can also call explain local on it for understanding individual predictions or individual explanations behind predictions. However, the topic of this show is after you generate that explanation and the global explanation object, you can pass this to the error analysis dashboard, which is what we are discussing today, alongside with your dashboard pipeline, which I just created, consists of my basically featureization process and feature engineering process that I just defined, if you remember, numerical features and categorical features and how they transfer, and also my model training. And the other things are just like the ground truth values and the prediction values. And so once you pass these to the error analysis dashboard, it will load this dashboard for you, which I just for simplicity of seeing that I opened in the new tab using this full screen. And so let's see what we are looking at together. As we said, the first stage of this tool is about identification of errors. And for that, you have two different modalities. First, you have this tree map, which is basically an error tree map that takes your data, your ground truth values, and your prediction values, and creates this sort of hierarchical clustering of the data into interesting but also interpretable subgroups. Now, it's interesting because they have different error rates, and in some categories like the right-hand side of this tree, they're a lot more error-focused in cohorts compared to the right side of this tree. And interpretable because you, for instance, can click on any cohort. For instance, I just clicked on this cohort, and I realized that 25% of people in this cohort have received error, and then this is in charge of almost 50% of, or this cohort, this node is in charge of almost 50% of the errors that are happening in the overall data. And I can also see what that cohort is about. That cohort is about people who are married, they are lower education, and they are on the older side, age greater than 33. So these are married people, later phases of life, who do not have a lot of or have less education or lower education. I can also click on another node, for instance, and see that this node has 28.75% error rates, meaning 28% of people in this node, which are people who are married, younger age group, and higher education. So 28% of these people are getting errors, and this node, this cohort that I just defined, is in charge of 5.5% overall errors. So not much in terms of coverage, but still 28% of these people are seeing errors. And so you can click on a variety of these nodes, and the great part is you don't have to do anything. This tree is actually trained on top of your model errors for you, and you can just come and investigate and understand nodes and cohorts with sort of different proportions of errors. The other thing you can
interrupt you, but this is absolutely like you are going so fast, and this is just, I want to hit this. Basically, what you're doing is you're showing how this function that was learned, not written, how it actually makes decisions, but more than that, where the errors are in the decision. So for example, when you're seeing an error, you mean it's mislabeling some test data, basically, yes. And you're showing here the cohorts of the data where the mislabeling has happened. Am I getting this right?
Exactly. And so imagine if you don't have such a tool, you cannot possibly combine all, you know, combination of features and put different thresholds on continuous ones and then combine them all in different variety of ways in order to understand where errors are focused. That's not just scalable for you. And so this tool just puts it in front of you. It tells you, these are the cohorts that most of the errors are focused in. And so now you can, for instance, take them to the diagnosis part to understand why this cohort is making or is seeing a lot of errors in it, which I will showcase to you momentarily.
Awesome. So basically, it could be like a simple mislay, like these are the ones that it just flat out got wrong. Let's investigate why.
Exactly.
Sorry, and continue. Sorry to interrupt you.
This is perfect. And would love to get interrupted again. Please do. So when I click on feature list set, another thing that we can see together is what factors led to more errors or what factors were more indicators of errors in the model. So for instance, I can see relationship, marital status, and age are the top three factors that contributing to the errors that you're seeing in this decision tree. And another cool feature is you can, for instance, uncheck them or unselect them and retrain your tree. Imagine you don't want to include one feature. You can unselect it and then retrain your tree. So it's absolutely adaptable to what set of features you would like to use on top of it. So here, this is what I'm going to do. Where first, I'm going to select this cohort. This seems to be people who are married. I'm going to save this group. And this, as you saw, it's also an erroneous group. So I'm going to call it married error so that I know that this was my erroneous cohort. 81% of the model overall models, models overall errors are focused in this node. And this node, 22% errors are happening inside it. I'm also, just for the sake of comparison, going to click here. This seems to be people who are unmarried. And as you can see, the error rate is low. Only 4% of people are getting errors here. And this node is in charge of 18%, which compared to 80-something percent, it's a lot lower. So I'm also going to save this cohort for a later time for investigation. So I'm just going to set not married. So before taking these two cohorts to the explanation part and try to diagnose why one is getting more errors and why one is getting better results so that we can go and actually improve the situation for those individuals who are married and are getting erroneous labels, I would like to add that there is another view that you might like. So this view is called heat map. That's for when you have up to two features in mind that you would like to investigate. For instance, what are the different error rates that are happening in the sub cohorts attached to that feature? For instance, first I select education num here. So I can see, Seth, that as people are more highly educated, the error rate is also increasing for them, for the most part. So basically, as we go through lower education to the highest education in this cohort, I see that there is sort of a pattern for error monotonically increasing with that, like, education getting higher. Another thing that I can bring to the picture is I can bring, for instance, gender, because I want to now see how is it work for females and males, which are the two values of gender in this particular data set. And so I can first see that there are discrepancies between females and males in each education group. So there's almost 5% more error rate for males of the same education group compared to females. And the same pattern is true across them, that, in that sense that as each group is getting more educated, it seems like there is also error monotonically increasing, and there is that suggests that there might be a correlation between education and the error that is happening inside this model. I'm not showing that today just for sake of simplifying the scenario, but you can select one or many of these grids and select and also save that cohort and then take that cohort to the explanation phase. For now, I just go to the explanation phase with the two cohorts that I identified. Once you go there, you land on three different tabs: data exploration, global explanation, which is like overall interpretability of how the model is making its predictions, and local explanations, which are for individual data points. And then it also includes what if. These are for helping you diagnose what is happening and hopefully informing some of the mitigation strategies that you need to put in place to improve the situation for those erroneous cohorts. My first step would be dataset exploration. I click on aggregate because I would like to understand overall how this not married group and this married error group were different. One had very few errors and one had like almost in charge of 80% coverage of errors inside my model. So the very first thing that I would like to see is I set the y-axis to count, and I set the x-axis to truth values. I would like to see, in terms of ground truths, the actual labels that people had during training, how much I'm representing both cohorts or both groups of labels of less than or equal 50K or more than 50K in my ground truths data. I can see that the data is really imbalanced for the not married group. However, when I go to married group, which had a lot of errors, I see that this is actually pretty balanced. So I have a lot higher values or number of people who actually earned greater than 50K compared to the not married group, which this imbalance was a lot more. And so that suggests to me that when I have so much representation in an almost balanced way for more than 50K and less than or equal 50K for ground truths of more than or equal or more than or less than 50K, then it becomes a harder job for my model to distinguish between these two groups because this data set is not huge and the two groups, two labels are being represented equally in the training data. So the model tends to make more mistakes in detecting one from another. One possible mitigation would be for you to, first of all, augment the balance of your data everywhere, but bring a lot more labels, for instance, for this group of greater than 50K, or even like equally for less than or equal 50K, to just like teach the model more about the patterns of how to distinguish these people from each other. With a smaller data set, the model tends to make a lot more mistakes because it just can't detect.
That makes, sorry, and I'm starting to understand because this is more like look, I started as a software developer for 10 years, then I went to grad school and did research in machine learning. This feels like actual testing and debugging kind of thing that we would do in normal software practice. Would you say that it's similar?
So we feel like responsible AI is about rigorous AI engineering. So in that sense, you're absolutely right. Like the same way that we debug our code and we debug our like machine learning life cycle in terms of what hyperparameters go inside it. The same way we have to understand what is happening inside the model's prediction, and there no model story is actually complete without the data story. So the data is the input to the whole world of model training, right? So if there are some patterns that we can enhance, augment, or correct in our training data, I believe that our models will be drastically improved as well. But you're absolutely right. It's quite similar.
Cool. Sorry I interrupted.
No, that's a very great point. The other thing that I wanted to mention here is, for instance, I can select prediction values on the y-axis and keep this ground truth values on the x-axis. And so here, I just want to just state it for simplicity of understanding that here you can see that people with ground truth less than or equal 50K and predicted more than 50K. So this is one of the errors that are happening. And also this is another error that is happening. People who had ground truth of more than 50K, but they have got the prediction of less than or equal 50K. And as you can see, Seth, people who actually had ground truth of greater than 50K are getting a lot more errors than people who had ground truth of less than or 50K. And that pattern is true for the overall data as well, not just in the married group. And so one possible thing would be maybe we have to go and bring a lot more people with ground truth of more than 50K, both married, not married, and just augment that cohort so that the model learns to distinguish them better from people who had the ground truth of less than or equal 50K.
I mean, this is awesome. And it feels like if you're more rigorous, because now with things like automated machine learning, you can build a ton of models at the same time. You may find that the aggregate metrics of, you know, like AUC or like error, bias or variance, those are not enough. And diving in is a little bit more helpful.
Absolutely. And I'm personally a huge fan of adding all these insights to automated machine learning techniques so that as a stakeholder, as a user, you can make a more informed decision as which one is the best model, not based on one aggregate, either accuracy, area under curve, error rate, you name it. Yeah, absolutely. That's
awesome. Right. That's awesome. Any other things to show us on the error analysis toolkit?
Yes. So two other things I wanted to showcase was the global explanation capability of it, which is really the marriage of this tool with the Interpret ML toolkit, which is for machine learning interpretability. And so, for instance, you can see for not married people, the top second most important factor is age. Right? Like age is an important factor in making the predictions for not married group. However, for married group, you can see that marital status is the top one. That was the same for not married group. But capital gain suddenly becomes really important. So in a way, you can see for each group, what factors the model is using the most in order to making its predictions. And sometimes they might ignite some interesting questions. Why for my married group, I'm seeing a lot of pressure or a lot of weight is being given or is being put on capital gain versus for not married group, it's on age. And so those are all signals for you to go and investigate the balance of your data and understand better. And one last thing that I would like to highlight, Seth, is the local explanation, which allows you to dive deep on one cohort. For instance, I have this not married cohort here. I could also shift to another cohort if I want to see the married cohort. But it shows you the data points of it that have been correctly predicted, the data points of it that have been incorrectly predicted. And so, for instance, I go to the erroneous cohort in my no married group, and I select one of them just randomly, for instance, like say this one, and I can inspect it and understand what are the factors that are impacting its predictions in positive way or in negative way. So this is the local explanation part. You can also select more than one. But the other cool thing that I can do is I can run this what if analysis panel. And right now, this person had actually truth value of 50 greater than 50K, and it was predicted to be in the class less than or equal 50K. And so I can say, for instance, what happens if this person was not divorced and was married? And so as you can see, suddenly the prediction was changed from this to the right one, which is like more than 50K with 80% probability. So you can do a lot of these perturbation cases and further debug your model and see what factors switching and perturbing leads more to changing the outcome.
Well, this is awesome, primarily because it's been such a black box that developers generally are like, how do we even debug this? And so this is awesome. Just to finish up, where can people go to find out more, to learn how to do this themselves?
People can check out eraanalysis.ai. Besmira has also written a fantastic blog that we make sure to put the link here. And reach out to us via GitHub issues. If you have any thoughts you want to share, feature ask, we always welcome community contributions. So looking forward to hearing from you.
Well, this has been fantastic. Besmira, anything you'd like to add to finish up?
I just want to call out to all machine learning developers. We're building these tools for them, and we hope to make them more productive to accelerate the improvements. And so, yeah, just reach out to us if you have asks, discussions, anything.
Thank you so much for being with us, Manoush Besmira. You've been learning all about how to use the Era Analysis Toolkit on the AI Show. Thank you so much for watching, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Take care.